Half of everyone here at 242 Worship, the staff, the amazing band up here, our many, many volunteers who work so hard to make all of this happen. On behalf of all of them, I just want to say welcome. We are just so thrilled that you are here today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with us here in this place called 242. We know that you had a lot of choices, a lot of ways that you could have spent today, and we are just so happy that you chose to come here and spend it here with us at 242. 242, those numbers come from a book in the Bible called Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 42, we find the followers of Jesus. And they were going through all kinds of things, even being persecuted for being followers of Jesus. And by this time for them, things were really hard because Jesus, he wasn't around. He had already died, risen, and left and went away to heaven. He wasn't around anymore, at least not that they could see. But there in that verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see that they wouldn't stop gathering, getting together and worshiping and praying and learning about Jesus together. They wouldn't stop because they believed, they believed from the bottom of their hearts that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive and well, and that even though they couldn't see him, they knew he was still with them. They believe that. And so we believe here at 242 that we are right there with them, still worshiping Jesus in that way, even 2,000 years later. Here at 242, something that we are all about here is Scripture, being in God's Word. And we believe that the Bible is how God speaks to us today. And so every week we're in our Bibles and we open them up and we see verse by verse, word for word, what God has to say to us. So right now, if you brought a Bible along with you to worship, or if you have maybe a Bible app on your phone like I do, I'd encourage you to get those out right now and open up to the book of Mark. We're going to take a look at this story here today, the book of Mark. Mark is the second book of the New Testament. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are all named after those who wrote them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these are people who followed Jesus. They walked with Jesus while he was here on earth. And they wrote down the things that they heard and that they saw while Jesus was here. These are very special books of the Bible, these four. We call them Gospels because of all the books of the Bible. There's 66 books total. These are the four that tell us the story about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. But there are four of them. And if you get to reading them and knowing them, you realize that they all kind of have their own kind of personality, their own perspective on certain stories. And that's even true with Easter Sunday, with the resurrection of Jesus. They all kind of have their own personality that shines through there. And so today what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at Mark's story. Mark's take on Easter Sunday and how he frames that for us here. So if you have your Bible, open up to Mark chapter 16. It's the last chapter of his story here. And what you find is that there is something that's like very unique, incredibly unique about the way Mark tells the Easter story. But what you actually do have to have your Bible open to kind of see what I mean here. But we're going to read this story here. It comes from Mark chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. It says this: "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they may go and anoint him." Of course, they're talking about Jesus here. The Sabbath was Saturday for them. It was a special day. It was a holy day when they could do no work. They just worshiped. But now that's over. And so now they're going back to the tomb of Jesus and anoint him with spices. Back then, that's how they would honor the dead, show respect for them. All right, verse 2. And very early on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" They knew that there's this giant boulder. They saw it on Good Friday, this giant stone in front of the grave of Jesus. They had seen that. And so they're going to this tomb thinking like, oh, someone's got to help us out here. They're just going by faith that someone's going to be there. And then it says this, "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was already rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.'" Okay, up to now, you're thinking, right, standard Easter, right? You've heard this before, right? You've seen this before. This is standard stuff, right? But then look at this. This is verse 8. "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, I don't know what version of the Bible you're looking at here or what your Bible looks like here, but for me, that's verse 8. From here on in the scripture, there's verses that continue after this. This is verses 9 through 20, and it talks about more, you know, Easter Sunday stuff, Jesus appearing to more people and showing that he is alive. But for me, at least in my version, verses 9 through 20, they're in brackets, like editor's brackets, because there's actually an editor's note in my version. Maybe yours says this too. It says right between verses 8 and 9. Mine says this. Maybe yours says something similar. It says verses between 8 and 9. "Some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 through 20. Ever noticed that before? In Mark's gospel? Some of the earliest manuscripts do not include Mark 16, 9 through 20. What does that mean? That means that some of the oldest versions of the gospel of Mark that they have found, the oldest versions and probably the most original versions of the gospel of Mark that they have found, they don't include verses 9 through 20. Those versions, probably the most original version of the Gospel of Mark, ends right there. Verse 8. It ends this way. The entire book that he wrote, it ends like this. "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Happy Easter, right? It's thought that somewhere down the line that someone maybe added these next 12 verses just to kind of like complete the story, kind of like tie the bow at the end of it. Because, I mean, who would end a story like this, right? This makes no sense, right? I mean, come on, Mark, right? What, did you run out of ink, right? Your laptop battery running low, right? Why would you end a story like this? Now, I actually think that Mark was very intentional here. I think that he actually meant for his story to end this way. Yeah, with the followers of Jesus, they're scared, they're confused, they don't know what to think. They heard what this angel said, but they don't see it. Not yet. Oh, they come inside that empty tomb, and from what they can see, something went wrong. Something went way wrong here. Jesus isn't here. Did someone maybe steal his body? Was it Caiaphas? Was it Pilate? Was it Herod? They don't know. They just think that something went wrong. But you see, if you ask me, I think that this is an Easter ending that's meant for us. See, Mark, he knows. He knew what life would be like for us, followers of Jesus, right now, today. Because Mark knows that often in real life, life doesn't look like Jesus has won. I actually believe that Mark wrote this ending with us in mind. Because by the time he wrote this book, I mean, think about this. By the time he wrote this, the word was out, right? The people knew, right? Jesus won, right? Jesus rose from the dead. People knew the end of the story by the time he wrote these words down. Mark wrote this ending with us in mind. Because he knew that even though Jesus has won, even though he has risen from the dead, even though he has victory over everything, Mark knows that for people like you and I who maybe weren't there on Easter Sunday, for us, it don't look like it. It still doesn't look like it. I mean, seriously, I mean, here we are, right? It's Easter Sunday. In your life, does it look like Jesus has won? In your life, does it look like Jesus has victory over sin and temptation? Does it look like Jesus has victory over Satan and struggles and hurt and heartache? Does it look in your life like Jesus has victory over sickness, disease? Does it look like Jesus has victory over death? Isn't that the irony? Right? We are here to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Death has actually been put to death. But in your life, does it look like that? No. Chances are, you have some real struggles, real things, real battles that are going on in your life that have yet to be defeated. Maybe right now you're in between jobs, and you don't see it. You don't know how possibly life is going to work out. You don't know how you're going to make it. Maybe right now you're in a relationship crisis, and things are just spinning out of control. Life actually feels like it is out of control. I know for a fact that there are people here today who are battling cancer. You are literally fighting for your life right now. Maybe you're here today and you're here, you're worshiping with family, but maybe there's someone not here. Someone you lost, someone you love, someone you miss so much. They should be here. They should be in the chair sitting right next to you. They're not. Maybe you're here today and life just feels like it's a mess. Maybe it feels hopeless and you can't even pinpoint why. You don't know why. It just feels like life is too much. It's too hard. And you've even questioned if it's even worth living. We're here today to celebrate that Jesus is alive, right? We're here to celebrate because we believe that Jesus is alive, right? But look at the world around us. Look at our lives. Look at every single thing that we see. I mean, look at the world. What do we see? We see war. We see terrorism. We see mass tragedy. We see cathedrals burning to the ground. I mean, life so often doesn't look like Jesus has won. And I think Mark knew that. I think that's why he wrote this ending, his take on the Easter story the way that he did. He doesn't tie the bow. He doesn't give us the sunshine ending because he knows what the Easter story really is for you and I. It's a faith story. The Easter story is a faith story through and through. See, when we look around in our lives, we don't see Easter. So often we don't see sin being conquered and temptation being thrown away. We don't see Satan being thrown to the ground. We don't see struggles that just melt away. And we don't see in our lives victory over death. Why? Because Easter is a faith story. This is a story, it's a true story that we believe in spite of what we can see. It is a faith story that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took a look at this world. That he took a look at this world and he saw the sin. He saw the sickness and the sadness. He saw the temptation of Satan. He saw the curse of death, but in all those things, looking at all those things, he saw us. He saw you. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to go to war against these things. I'm going to go to war for you. And so Jesus came to this world and he lived this beautiful life and he was a healer and a teacher and a miracle worker. And then above all those things, at the end, the capstone of all those things, Jesus died. He died on a cross. Now, Jesus, the Son of God himself, the one who'd come to go to war for us, that didn't look like much of a victory. To have God there executed on a cross, it didn't look like a victory. It didn't look like a victory when Jesus, God himself, was taken down from the cross, lifeless. It didn't look like a victory. It didn't look like a victory when Jesus was taken and placed in a tomb. And it did not look like a victory when on that first Easter Sunday, those disciples, those followers of Jesus first came to the tomb. They took a look inside and Jesus isn't just dead. He's not even here. That didn't look like a victory because Easter is a faith story. People, faith, believing is the only way. Faith is the only way. Believing, trusting from the bottom of our hearts. That's the only way to see it. That's the only way to see past the hurt. To see past the struggles and the pain. It's the only way to see past the hopelessness. It's the only way to see past death itself. Faith is the only way. Faith is the only way to look past these kinds of things and to see instead the message that really was inside that empty tomb. That Jesus is alive. And that with Jesus, life wins. With Jesus, life wins. By faith, this is what we see. That God did raise his Son from the dead. That God has won the war. Death will not have the final say. In fact, nothing will have the final say. Only Jesus. We are always safe with Jesus. And this is the promise of Jesus that he's coming back. He's coming back to make all things new. He's coming back to take away sin for good, to take away sadness for good, to take away sickness for good. There is a day coming when he is coming to take away death for good. There is a day when Jesus Christ, who is alive, is coming back to actually raise us from the dead, to put life back into us one day. Do we see it today? Only by faith. only by faith do we see that we are with Jesus always, and that with Jesus, life wins. In fact, could you say this with me up here? I'm going to give you a job here on Easter morning, right? I want you to say, let's do it this way. I'm going to say, with Jesus. And then when I say that, I want you to say, life wins. Okay, let's try it. With Jesus, life wins. Let's try that again. That was good. With Jesus, life wins. You have no job. Forget cable. Forget your car. You don't even know how you're going to provide food for your family. When you're in that place, in that struggling place, and you don't see it, you don't see how this could possibly work out, take a second to look past that, to put on the eyes of faith and look past that and to see that Jesus has got this. He's got this. He is going to provide for you. He is going to be with you. And can you say it again with me? With Jesus, life wins. When you flip on the news and you see that next horrific tragedy, again, so many lives lost. Again, so hopeless. Take a second to look past the pain, to look past the hurt, to look past the hopelessness and see that Jesus has got this. He is going to be with us in this, and that with Jesus, life wins. When you're at the doctor and he brings in those test results and they're not good, I know what that piece of paper says. Right, I know what that piece of paper said, but it says, take a second to look past what that piece of paper says and see for a second with the eyes of faith that it's going to be okay. That no matter what happens, Jesus has got this. He has got you. He will not leave you in the midst of this struggle, no matter where it takes you. Take a second to have the eyes of faith and see that with Jesus, life wins. When you're expecting that child and you're so excited and so many emotions and you're just imagining and you're dreaming about what this life is going to be like, what your family is going to be like here. And you go to that appointment. No heartbeat. We don't talk about the pain of miscarriage enough. In our culture, it's a very silent kind of grief. But that pain that you feel, that loss that you feel, it's immense. It's overwhelming sometimes how immense that feels. You know why that is? Because that was a life. That was a life precious to you, and that was a life that is precious to God. And I believe that is a life that is still precious to God. People, I believe this, that there is a day when you will see that child again. There is a day when you are going to be able to hold them in your arms because Jesus has got this. He's got this in his arms. He's going to one day make this okay. He is going to be with you no matter what it is that you're feeling or experiencing. And we know that with Jesus, life wins. It was a year before I moved here to Texas. And I was serving at a church in St. Louis area at that time. And I left the office one day and went to go to the hospital to go and visit Carol. Only Carol was not a member of my church. She was my aunt. For a year and a half up to that time, she had been battling pancreatic cancer. And she fought so hard. And on that day of that visit, she knew, the doctors knew, everyone knew, there was nothing that she or any doctor or medicine could do anymore. That visit was just between the two of us. And I really and truly treasure that time and that conversation that we got to have together that day. And of course, I'm the one that's just weeping there. And she's the one that's being strong. I hate saying goodbye. I just hate it. But she's the one who said in those moments, you know, this stinks. This hurts. This is not fair. But I know where I'm going. I know it's going to be okay. Only the eyes of faith can see that. Only the eyes of faith can see what she saw. To be able to look at what was going on in that hospital room in the face. To be able to look at the situation. To be able to look cancer itself in the face. To be able to look death itself in the face and say, "You have not won. You will never win. Death, you will not win. You cannot win," because she knew she was going to be somewhere better. She was going to be with someone better. She knew that she was going to be with Jesus. And as there's one thing that we know about Jesus and what he promises, is that when we know that we are with Jesus, we know that with Jesus, life wins. Life always wins. I mean, for the followers of Jesus, this is our creed. This is our confession of faith. This is our Easter hope that we hold at the very bottom of our hearts, because we believe that we can stare down every struggle. We believe that we can stare down every pain, every hurt, every ounce of hopelessness. We believe that we can even stare down death itself in the face and say, "You will not win. You will never win." Why? Because we believe the tomb was empty. And we believe that it was empty because Jesus is alive. We believe he is alive and well. We believe that he is with us today, tomorrow, every day, all of our days. And we believe that if Jesus is with us, we believe this at the bottom of our hearts, that if he is with us, then life will win. And so can you say this with me a few more times? Can you say this with me a few more times with faith-filled voices, people? Let's say it here together, that with Jesus, life wins. Say it again. With Jesus, life wins. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. Not with the things that we physically see here in this world, but with the eyes of faith, we can see it. Our Easter hope, our Easter joy, our Easter promise. We can see that Jesus is alive, and that with Jesus, life wins. Life wins. Because Jesus is alive, life will always win. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are here today. We are here today, thousands of years after you rose from the dead. But Jesus, we still believe it. We believe it at the bottom of our heart, Jesus, that you are alive. You are alive and well. You are in our lives. And Jesus, sometimes that's hard to see. In fact, we can't see it with our physical eyes. We all have struggles going on. We all have things happening in our lives that sometimes make us wonder and question, is this Easter promise for real? But Jesus, we pray that you would give us the eyes of faith. The eyes to see what is inside your empty tomb. To see a promise there for us that, yes, you've got us. You've got our struggles. You've got our pain. You've got our sin, our sickness. You have everything that could possibly try to touch us in this world. You've got it, Jesus. We believe that you are with us always, Jesus. And because you are with us, we know that life will win. Our eternal life will win with you. It will win the day. A day is coming, Jesus, when we will see these issues in our lives no more. And we will see you alive, risen, and that all is well, Lord Jesus. And so, Jesus, we pray all of these things together as your people, praying that prayer that you yourself have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.